live and waiting to hang out with the TFC Fords to watch the eclipse.
Where are they?
What, huh?
Guys, it's happening.
Prince.
They missed that too.
Huh. God damn.
It's the Vocal Minority Podcast. I mean, they tried.
Raise your voice.
I guess.
They did. I
did. No, guys, go back. No, just go back inside.
Yeah, Christ. They really missed again.
You know, we brought you the nice glasses and everything, and Jesus.
At least we made an effort.
Yeah. It's true. Hey, look. Yeah, as long as everybody else is trying, I guess eventually this will all work out, right? We'll all see the eclipse.
On TV.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Vocal Minority Podcast, the podcast that hopes you all did your best flash dance and wore your welding glasses today. On this week's show, we look back at a tough couple of weeks for TFC. Aww. Celebrate a comeback win for the XNT. Yay.
Hooray.
Attempt to preview the 2024 CanPL season. We're going to try. It's probably going to be messy, but that's okay. You love us. Look ahead to this weekend's matches and more. And now to this week's panel. He doesn't mind that he had to work today. He's seen better eclipses in his day. Welcome to Duncan Fletcher.
It's true. Back in my day, there was no clouds for eclipses.
Right?
I blame Justin Trudeau.
As you should.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Carbon tax my ass, whatever. Wondering when all these eclipse tourists will leave his town. Say hello to Mark Hinckley.
There's so fucking many. I didn't even want to go out. I was forced to go out. For those of you who don't know, I live in Burlington, which is a city along the same lake of which Toronto, head west. And I do not live far away from the waterfront, where there is this wonderfully sized, not too big, park that runs a fair amount of the water. And I don't know how many thousands of people were there, but I left before the park got really, really good because I was there just helping family, nephews and nieces find their family in the crowd. And then I was coming the fuck back home because I don't want to be outside for these things. But holy shit, go home. You can get sun everywhere. Why in the fuck are you coming to the park? Like, there's rich people's houses further down. Go stand in front of their backyards. That'd be awesome. Fuck those people. Anyway, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here.
I just wanted to finish my story. That's a wrestling reference, everyone. WrestleMania was fucking amazing.
Do you want to talk about John Cena's bald spot too? Or can we just move on from that?
That's old fucking news. Okay. He's had that bald spot for like a year and a half, 2 years. And it's hilarious because he's still jacked from the neck down, and from the neck up, he looks like a dad or a stepdad. He looks like a father who's just like, you know, goofy, likes to have a good time, bald spot and all. But John Cena's amazing. But anyway, the last 5 minutes of that thing was absolutely incredible. Just somebody posted the last 5 minutes of the match. I retweeted it last night of recording, or day of recording, so it's on Sunday. But it's just this fantastic like escalation of absurdity. It was just so satisfying. And it's some of the best TV that could possibly happen this year. And the camera work. Let me say about the camera work. Last thing.
Okay.
Camera work. So John Cena did his whole thing and he beat up somebody and he's out on the outside and the camera's like right by him and the camera just slides into view. So you get like 2/3 of his face. And in behind you can see like the screen and the ramp. And that's when the Rock's music hit and Cena's eyes just kind of open up a little bit like, oh shit. And it was so good. Like, obviously, everyone knew this. Like, the wrestlers knew that that was happening. But the cinematography of it was perfect. It was so good. I'm like, oh, my God, this gets better. It's great.
Well, I'm so glad for you.
Thank you.
Welcome. Apparently,
Tony is the eclipse. You only see him once a year.
He looked at the sun too long and couldn't see the podcast rundown, so he's not going to be with us this week.
Oh man, it was so close.
Yep,
we nearly got him this time, guys.
It was like that close, honestly. As for me. It was really cloudy where I was for the most part, but my neighbor kept bringing out alcohol. So, you know, good day for me. I am your host, Kristen Knowles. Now to our show. So many bottles. All right.
So you got drunk to look at clouds.
Yeah, basically. Every now and again, like it would be, someone would be like, oh, it's coming back. And we would all like throw on our glasses and look up and be like, oh, it's gone again. And then my neighbor would be like, oh, have you guys tried this one yet? Like, literally, like, anyway, we drank a lot.
I will say, through that crowd of fucking people in Burlington, there's something incredibly insane to me listening to people cheer on nature.
Yeah.
Like, it's great. It's insane. Like, ooh, the sun. Yay. Like, Jesus, it's so slow. That was because of the clouds, everybody, not because of the actual eclipse, but the clouds were in the way and it fucked off just in time for the good part to happen. So I'm told.
Yeah, didn't do like, that much of that here.
Like, it's just, I just kind of feel like sometimes when you feel like maybe I am missing something, and then you remind yourself what you think you're actually missing. Go, oh yeah, that, fuck it. And then you just like, everyone's like, did you want to use the glasses? I'm like, no, I want to keep my eyesight and I don't want to take a chance. Peace. And I left. But yeah, cheering on the sun, guys.
Yeah. What did the sun ever do to you, Mark?
I feel like you're
very hostile to the sun.
Have you met our pale friend? One of the few people I know that is paler than I.
Me and the sun, I fucking hate the sun. I will say that right now. You know what? Fucking moon should have just stayed there. Okay.
Me.
The sun should have just, the moon should just stay there. Fuck that sun. Fuck it all the way to the ground. Okay. The number of times that sun bitch gave me heat stroke and sunstroke over the last 5 years, seriously, go fuck yourself. Okay. So as far as I'm concerned, the moon's my friend and should be your friend too. Back there to you, Chris.
Thank you, Mark. So obviously we're going to get into what's been happening, and yes, we apologize for missing last week, but family and general life just got in the way. But we hope you all had a lovely Easter weekend and enjoyed your week, and now we're all back together again. Yay! Isn't Friendship. That lovely? Friendship. So of course we're going to start out with TFC, which you know,
TFC, they're great. You know, it's new, it's a whole new thing. Like,
ooh, oh yeah,
defensively solid, and you know, like opportunistic enough in front of goal to be able to score the one goal every now and again that they need.
Toronto FC,
John Lennon's a magician. What happened the last couple of weeks, Kristen?
Made the goals disappear.
I was gonna say, yeah, this is the most amazing act.
Saw the defense in half.
So they lost by a combined total of 7-1 over two matches, 3-1 to the Sporks, and 4-0. Oh God, fucking Vancouver.
Is Lorenzo Insigne that good of a defender?
Yeah, apparently. I don't know, man. Like, so the Vancouver match, what I saw of it, I saw the second half and some highlights from the first, highlights, quote unquote. I did see Bernadeschi, you know, do his level best to get DeAndre Kerr to score a goal. So, you know. But like, that was just a bad match. Very bad match, and they're going to need to just pretend it never happened kind of thing before this weekend. But the match against the Sporks, that was what I saw of it, 'cause I was working. So I saw the second half and some highlights again, but it was a frustrating one in that they just seem to do like vaguely stupid things. Like they pick the exact wrong moment to do the stupid things, not like the recoverable moments, like, oh shit, I shouldn't have done that, but we can come back, but that's fine. I felt bad for Luca Gavron in that match because, one, he kept them in it for longer than they probably had a right to be in that match.
True.
But the frustration, was it on the second goal or the third goal? Like, I thought he was going to strangle somebody on his team for a missed assignment. Like, he... I was like, dude, you've been around the organization for a long time. You should know this happens. But I did. I felt like one of those times when you can just be like, oh, I would not want to be whoever you are that he is really angry at right now. We've seen that from TFC keepers before. I recognize that face and that scream of frustration. So that one. That one was frustrating. And again, I know I keep saying this, and the same thing in the Vancouver match. No, he's been unable to score a goal. And yes, sometimes he tries to do too much, but I'm going to continue to highlight Bernadeschi's work rate in these matches and the fact that he is everywhere trying to make things happen. And I feel badly for him. And I would not have said this last season. And this season, for whatever reason, I think it's because I actually am seeing consistent effort from him. So I feel bad in that he seems to be doing so much and nothing is happening. And it was over both of those matches. I was like,
yes, he seems to be putting in a lot of effort and running and that sort of thing. And, and then I think especially like the last two or three games or it's been since sort of Insigne dropped out, I think he's clearly sort of recognised, we don't really have any good forwards. I'm probably going to have to don't do this myself. Now, for better or worse, you know, maybe it'd be better if he did, you know, trust in the players around him, but he doesn't seem to. So he's like up front, he's trying to do everything himself. And it's always like, I'm trying to like dribble around a bunch of players. One of them tackled me. Just again and again and again.
Well, I think it's
yes, like, there is effort there for sure. Agreed.
I think it's like I said, there's been more than one time when, and again, I like DeAndre Kerr, I like him a lot, but he's also struggling to start the season. And I've seen Bernadeschi set him up more than once, and then that seems to fall apart. They're all frustrated after these last two matches. It's definitely time for, you know, a redemption match, a bounce back match, because they're squandering. Well, on Saturday, I don't think they squandered much, but on the previous week, on Easter weekend, I feel like there were opportunities that they let slip pretty hard. I was sort of wondering, because again, I missed the first half on Saturday. Like, I wasn't expecting Sean Johnson to be back for this match. I didn't think.
Yeah, I was surprised.
And I'm wondering if he was rushed back. Now, we all know that John Herdman will often, you know, he's an emotional coach. Sean Johnson's a very good keeper. We all like him. He sometimes, and we've watched him do this with Canada, has been known to listen to a player. Do you know what I mean? Like, be like, okay, if you tell me you're good, I'm gonna trust you on this sort of thing. And that's not to say, like, if he was truly injured, they would have let him play. Like, I don't believe that. He's their number one. But and he didn't look terrible, but you know what I mean? Like, maybe just let him be fully there and have a little bit more time to reintegrate back with the team and let Gavron do you know, give Gavron one more match sort of thing. Maybe give him a redemption, or not a redemption, but like another sort of shake off the previous week. You know, do you know what I'm saying?
Possibly. Yeah. Like when I say possibly, I mean, what's crazy is to think that somehow Gavron like isn't ready for this slot, which he's kind of demonstrated over the last couple of games. He's perfectly fine. Yeah. Is he going to take Sean Johnson's job? Probably not, but he's definitely better as a backup keeper than some of the backup keepers we've had over the last couple of years, including last year. And that guy is somehow still on the team. With Sean Johnson, I don't know if I kind of agree that not because of hindsight, but I kind of think that, you know, just because you're ready to play now while you were hurt last week doesn't mean you should play now. I mean, it did nothing for his stress levels. Like, Jesus. Some of those giveaways were like, my God, that these, you know, we joke about PTSD sometimes a lot on here, and that man doesn't deserve this.
Yeah.
That doesn't deserve it. Lou Gavron didn't deserve it either.
No. That
guy definitely did not deserve it. To answer your question, not because of the result, I would have liked him to just have a full week of recovery, like being healthy on the bench. Not that he couldn't go 90 minutes, but just like, it's cool, man. We got a season. You're still the number one. Don't sweat it. You're good. And let him chill and reacclimatize himself of what he gets to look forward to.
Yeah. And so Gavron wasn't bad enough that you would say, oh, holy shit, this is an emergency. Let's rush him back. But, you know, the very first moment, right? It might be plausible.
Yeah.
Wasn't necessary. Like, it's strange.
And then I think it's sort of worth noting that Debbie Flores, who has been quite good, has been, you know, one of those pleasant surprises, kind of like, oh, the brain trust such as it is at TFC did a good thing with this player, had a terrible match on Saturday.
Mm.
Like, not, that was, talk about giveaways. I was like, what is happening? Who are you?
Obviously he used to play for Vancouver like a while back. Is that just like, you know, they nerves? Know, oh, okay, if we can like put him under pressure, if you put him under pressure, under possession, there's a good chance he's going to cough it up. And do they just kind of like know that about him? Because, you know,
that's a good point.
I don't really feel like Vancouver's particularly, really proactively press and they high up the pitch kind of team. Then all of a sudden, at least at the really start were. Of the game, they were.
Yeah.
It was very much kind of going after Flores like for that first goal and a couple of other things as well. He's like, yeah. Is that what they're specifically targeting? Do they know?
So did Herdman just get out-coached by Santini?
Possibly.
Yeah, I don't think that's impossible. Like,
yeah,
Vancouver's kind of playing from strength to strength from like end of last season where they were looking. Oh God, I'm not used to saying this. Kind of fun. They're a fun team to watch. They really are. And that's not a Vancouver trait, guys. It's just not. And to be, I don't like just watching the highlight package, you know, if you're not a TFC fan supporter, it's a highlight package.
That's a great package. Yeah.
otherwise it's just a bunch of sadness. Like all those goals were kind of defensive lapses. Some of them were massive, like fucking massive, kind of you should be benched next game massive, or you should be playing for the reserves, that kind of massive. And some of them were just like, there was only two of them, guys. How did you not pick up the second guy? And
yeah.
Or there were only three of them, and on a free kick, on a corner kick, on a throw in deep in our end, how did everyone fall asleep and not pick up the third guy?
That was just
Did anybody notice that sort of Brian Gold was kind of like running over there, and you know he's not going to be offside until
Gold. If there's anyone you're supposed to pay attention to,
I don't feel like any of these goals though were necessarily tactical genius. The goals were good. All fairness, they were quality goals. Nothing fluky about them. But I don't know if that's necessarily tactics or just taking advantage of some really, really questionable decisions. That, like, the first goal, that was brutal. The breakaway from the center circle on the other side, the far side, that's 60 some odd yards where they had, like, it was anybody who's looking for those old MLS shootout goals, there's one, guys. The fucking, like, seeing this unfold, it's like, if he doesn't score, can I laugh? Of course he scored, so I didn't laugh. But, like, none of that was tactical. To be fair, though, I don't know if the defense were just a little more crisp or a little more aware or alert of what was happening, I don't know if you can prevent all of those goals, because one of them was bound to go in, just like somebody just had a brain fart. But that was a lot of brain farts. That was a lot of brain farts. A lot of head gas. A lot of cerebral flatulence. And that's a good name for an episode, isn't it?
Yeah. That is pretty impressive.
All right, I'm going to write that one down. Anyway, my point is I kind of felt like Toronto had their opportunities. They didn't have many, but they had their opportunities, which tells me that tactically they were okay. Like they were deliberate. It just didn't pan out.
Their goalie, Takawaka, whatever his name is, he made a couple of really good saves. And there was that one where we hit the post twice in 2 seconds. Yep. That was entertaining.
Yes, it was.
It's not like the TFC deserved that zero. I think, you know, probably deserved a one, or, you know, maybe even a two if we had a centre forward that you'd just like back to score a goal ever. You know, you could look at the chances created and said, yeah, it should have got a couple of goals out of that game. And, you know, they didn't, because, you know, we don't have centre forwards that you'd back to score ever.
No, because... Why would a team need that? No. Stupid LAFC. Fuckers.
Stupid LAFC. What did they do?
What did they do again? Other than exist?
Kai? Isn't that where he is?
Oh, that. God. Yeah. I almost got over that.
Well, we haven't had a chance to talk about still very upset.
There's Kristen ripping the scab off everyone. Well played. Uh-huh. Yeah. This would have been a perfect time for any Toronto FC type team to have signed a guy kind of sort of like Akai Kamara, who we could have used last year.
Year before.
And the year before.
Year before.
Maybe the year before that. But we didn't, because we're super smarts, apparently. But and all those other players that we got were so good, too.
He plays so for everybody. And, you know, he's fun. But, you know, I mean, there was no point in him coming here, you know, while we had Josie Altidore and everything. That's all kind of makes sense. It'd be, yeah. But, you know, the last few years, yeah, this guy who's fun and plays for everybody and still probably kind of effective. Why not us?
Sorry.
Yeah, way to go, Kristen.
I know. I'm the worst.
Uh-huh.
I apologize.
I'm looking to make myself more angry. Hang on a second.
Do you want to look at how many goals he scored last year?
No, I was actually just checking to see how many goals he's got.
The year before.
This year. So far, none, but he's only played a whole 13 minutes.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's barely played yet, so.
He got 5 last year. How many did Latif Blessing get last year? Just quick math.
Did any TFC player get 5 last year?
Yeah, sorry, CJ Sabong. That's who I meant. Other journeyman player. CJ Sabong. How many get 1?
Yes.
The year before that, he got 9 for Montreal. 9 for Montreal. Fucking Montreal. This could have been ours, guys. Could have been ours. Yep, but
could have been ours.
But reasons.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's this. We'll talk about this weekend's match against Charlotte towards the end of the show. But even with injuries, you know, they've got a number of players back now. Some of who have, you know, again, looked a little shaky in that match. Maybe shouldn't have come back yet. But they've got, you know, they've got a full slate of matches this month, plus their opening match for the Voyageurs Cup. So they got stuff to figure out over these next few weeks before, if they, like, there's, again, it's MLS and it's such an uneven league. They're still somehow in a playoff position and, like, not in a, we have to play a wild card match playoff position currently. I don't know how much longer that will last. Well, one more loss and they'll be out, but I think. Anyway, let's move on to something more enjoyable. Let's move on to the XNT at the She Believes Cup, which, again, the format change will forever anger me. But anyway, on Saturday afternoon, they took on Brazil and eventually triumphed through everyone's favorite method of winning a football match, penalties.
Yay.
But I do have to point out that who scored the winning penalty but Julia Grosso.
Right.
She of the winning penalty in the Olympics. So
Julia fucking Grosso, isn't that? That is true.
That is the correct way to say her name. You are correct, Duncan. Yeah. Thank you. Uh-huh. Also, shout out to Adriana Leon for scoring her penalty. Good job, Adriana. Good job, Drew.
Proud of her.
We love you.
Does she not do that often?
Well, no, just in the Gold Cup match where she got one and then spectacularly missed the next one because she should not have gone first. But anyway, I'm sure there were reasons why she did. So this was a bit of a scrappy match between Canada and Brazil. They had, you know, again, had to go to penalties. And it took, you know, a lot of sort of, it seemed a little tentative a lot of the time, but there were some last minute injuries. So a couple of new players had to work in for Canada. They survived playing poorly in the first half to, you know, get more organized and be like, okay, all right. We know how to do this. We remember how to do this in the second half. And Vanessa Gilles with the tying goal, you know, pretty deep into the second half. And then, yeah, to come back and have a very competent penalty shootout, which was, again, nice to see after the Gold Cup final. Gold Cup semifinal, sorry. Still a little different. This, I saw a couple of people talking about the midfield for this match and then thinking, you know, well, they were missing Quinn, who was injured right before the tournament. So they were missing. And Desiree Scott, who was supposed to play, was back from injury, played for NWSL, had a death in the family, so she didn't play. So there was definitely like some midfield tenacity missing from this for this squad for that match, and I think that was something that a lot of people commented on, and will most likely quite probably be an issue tomorrow night, day after recording. Because they're playing the Americans in the final, as the soccer gods intended.
Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm. But, and again, we'll talk about it a little bit more. The bright side for that is that they will not play, she says, mentally checking the weather wherever it is they're playing right now, in Atlanta, where it never rains. No, they should not be playing in a monsoon where the ball stops in the water.
Ooh. You mean like fancy proper soccer? That's crazy.
I know.
Did they even make stadiums that look like that?
I was like, right. Yeah, they just played the Americans and it was horrible. Oh, wait, that was the match that never should have happened. Right. So this should be better. But you know what? Kudos to them for, you know, figuring it out in the second half and, you know, getting that tying goal, persevering through the penalties, again, being competent and professional through that and securing that win so they could get on to the final. But, you know, a little worrisome to be, again, not scoring goals and then just to have concerns on ball movement and things like that. So we shall see. We shall see what Tuesday night brings. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But I think the one thing actually that a lot of people, I didn't see how well she performed, but Aladu got called in as one of the replacements for one of the injured players. And there was a lot of questions as to why she wasn't called in the first place, just because she's doing so well for her club. So hopefully she gets to see some quality minutes tomorrow night and maybe, you know, scores a goal, which would be great because that's kind of the thing she does. But yeah, it just gives Bev Priestman more questions sort of going into squad selection for the Olympics. Just because, again, only 18 players can go, right? So it makes it tough. Sorry, Duncan, what did you just send us?
I think that's on Twitter. Apparently, Victoria Highlanders are not fielding a team in either the men's or the women's league, like League One BC this year, whether they're fully like dying or it's just a 1 year or what have you. But League One BC team. It's okay.
Oh, that's just some stressing news.
I mean, the timing's impeccable, both in this podcast and for the future of the game. Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. It says that over their best efforts over the past 2 months, they've been unable to reach an agreement with the new owners of League One BC. What the fuck does that mean?
That's a very good question.
Wow. So no more Victoria versus Victoria matches.
Let's forever remember those times.
Were the Highlanders supposed to be in the Voyageurs Cup this year?
No, I don't know. I can't remember who it
was. The League One BC team that qualified.
They did. They played Vancouver. They played the Whitecaps, didn't they?
Didn't they go on and play Victoria? Wasn't that the thing?
I feel like that. Okay.
Am I misremembering?
Yeah, for everybody who's yelling at the podcast right now, shut up. I hear you.
Really?
Okay? I'm looking this up. Canada. I'm on it. Canada Cup 2023.
All right. Yeah, they played both, didn't they? Okay, you're looking it up. You're looking it up. I'll stop.
Sorry, correct. That I stand corrected. You are correct. They beat Valor.
Yes, and then that's what it was.
And then had the derby, which they lost. Because
Vancouver was playing Vancouver.
Yes.
We were going to have all the Vs playing all the things. It was going to be hilarious. Anyway. Well, that's sad. That's never good when any team, any group, any club, especially one that fields both a men and women's side, isn't playing. That's not good at all. And League One BC, what the fuck?
Yeah, they were supposed to be playing against Pacific this year.
Okay. Yeah. So how is that going to... That's right. It was the return of Victoria against Victoria. Yes. Yeah, Jesus, so what is happening?
They were clearly champions last year. Really one of the sort of more high-profile sort of flagship teams of the league. And
That's a shame. That sucks. We had a derby rematch? That's bullshit.
This is what Wikipedia is telling me. And
no, I'm looking at it too. You're correct.
One of the more reliable websites out there these days.
That is so fucking depressing.
That's messed up. That's really... Jesus Christ.
Get your shit together, Canadian soccer, like wholesale. Just wholesale. I mean, obviously, the thing that I would... clearly, like, I mean, obviously, this is what we want to know is reach an agreement with the new owners of League One BC. What's the disagreement here?
Mm.
Like, maybe I obviously do not understand or know or appreciate what the requirements are to run a team for a season. I don't know if that's money up front, I don't know if that's licensing, but what's the negotiation that needs to take place for a club that exists and runs to say we could not reach an agreement with the new owners of a league? Anyway.
Well, that's depressing as fuck.
Yeah, that's a bummer, guys. Pour one out for the Highlanders.
Seriously. I guess there can't be only one.
Too soon. Too soon.
I'm sorry.
Next week would be fine, but not right now. It's too soon.
I apologize. I'm trying to delete it. All right. Let's on that sunny note, let's move on. let's move on to what we're talking about. Mostly we're going to talk about the CAMPL 2024 season. But we do have to talk about one other thing very quickly. And that is the most heinous and ridiculous of rumors about coaching prospects of the Canadian men's national team. I will go to the CSA offices and riot. Frank Lampard. You shut your filthy mouths, whoever decided to create this rumor, or if it's even remotely true, you stop it right now. Stop it. Frank Lampard, please.
I mean, it's hilarious on infinite levels.
Oh, sure. And if it was happening to another national team,
doesn't happen to the Dutch national team? Am I right?
Seriously. What about the Germans? Isn't it the Germans, turned in? Yeah.
Yeah, Germany's considering Frank Lampard. See, that's good television.
Exactly.
You know, realistic sort of levels. Ooh, New Zealand are going to pick up Frank Lampard. Really? Well, that'll be fun.
And like,
even aside from the ew factor, it's not like he's good.
Exactly. bad. All of you, bad.
There's so many things about this that just has me bewildered. Because
screaming into the void?
No. It's screaming into the void.
Bewildered is a good reaction. Bewildered is good.
Like, didn't we just go through this like 2 weeks ago where the CSA has no fucking money and now we're going to go and get a manager literally based on his fucking name? Like, just, that's it. It's Frank Lampard. Oh, am I impressed? Am I supposed to be impressed?
Do you remember watching him on TV play for Chelsea all those years way back when?
Yeah, that's just like management.
Super. I'd rather English, you know? Did you know that he's
only
English?
Only Gunnar Solskjaer, because at least he proved he could manage both in Football Manager and in real life, not for Manchester United.
Yes.
I'd rather him than Frank Lampard. Not because, and also, this is a United thing. It's because there's a guy who can manage, and there's Frank Lampard. Two different people, two different things. You're going to go do this. Go get somebody who's done it with success. Not Frank Lampard.
No.
I hope it's a lie.
I hope it is, too. I strongly, strongly hope it is. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I just had to throw that out there because what the actual fuck? Okay. So the CAMPL season starts this weekend.
Uh-huh. Hey.
Not kidding. I know.
Yeah. Shit. All right.
I know. It's like, it was like, wait, it's, oh, fuck. It is almost the middle of April. What the hell? Yay. Good. New season. Awesome. Congratulations. Feeling woefully unprepared for this. Yeah, and it's been a lot's happened in this off season with the teams. It feels, you know, like there's been a lot of player movement. Who was it that had like almost like the wholesale changeover? Who was it? I think I remember this. I was just looking at it.
There's a lot of teams that had
Ottawa was basically a super team.
Winnipeg's like one goalie, six defenders, four midfielders, six forwards. I didn't even know you could have or need six forwards on a team, but here we are. And they've hemorrhaged
the number of players.
Absolutely hemorrhaged them all.
Hemorrhaging players. And not all of who have stayed in the league. And this goes for a number of teams. Like Pacific, you know, my favorite team.
One of them. Come on.
They're the top.
Tied with the other three. I know. We've talked about this every season.
But so Kakuta Mane retired. Retired, right? Or just moved on? No. Gone. Issa Ngaro is gone. Manny Aparicio is gone. Emre Didic is gone. Like, there's so many of their top players over the last two seasons, three seasons, are now playing elsewhere. And that is distressing. And they have, yes, they've brought in a few new players. But I have concerns for them this season in terms of having a consistent 11 that can both defend and score goals. I don't know. I'm stressed out about the Aquamen's season, quite frankly. Yeah, that one concerns me. So speaking of Emre Didic, where did he go? Oh, what, Duncan, what super team were you talking about?
Ottawa,
the latest team in the CAMPL to clearly flout the salary cap rules. Talk about a complete changeover of like a massive part of your squad. You just look at it, it's just like, here's 10 players gone. Oh, but here's 10 brand new players.
What's particularly funny about seeing the Ottawa list, like I'm looking at the players in on so many, just quickly scrolling through the lists, yeah. Right? And like so many of them, like looking at Cavalry, I think I've heard of two of them, you know, yeah. Or three of them. Hamilton, yeah, it's the shortest list, but like, Halifax, there's two or three, yeah, there's three yeah, names
Halifax,
of her.
Halifax on did Ottawa, a bit of business.
It's
yeah.
over half of them, and that's alarming to me.
And they're good. I'm like, yeah. Oh shit, right? Jonathan Grant. Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. Emre Didic. Oh, Manny Aparicio.
Luke Singh on loan.
Luke Singh. You know, like,
yes, Lee wasn't terrible. He was actually pretty decent.
Kevin DeSantos. You know, like, Taylor, I'm just
DeBrin,
like, okay,
like, Jesus, Balu Tabla. Sure. Okay. All right, guys, we get it. You guys are mad.
We get it. Yeah, you have
you're not
money.
Fucking
okay,
taking
good.
It anymore. Well, guess what? You're going to have to, because that's how, like, this league goes. Hamilton rules.
And who did they lose? So they lost a little bit. Like, they lost Gianna DeSantos. They loaned.
They kept the DeSantos ratio up. They traded one for the other.
Exactly.
Replaced Johnny with
two Santos
Kevin.
Limit.
Kevin.
Right. Yes, good point. You know, Carl Haworth retired. Carl Umet. Oh, where they went. Anyway, it's, but yeah, the players coming in, it's like, okay, sure. Plus retaining, so they still have Ingham, Ollie Bassett, who's the one defender? Sissoko. Like, they still have some of their best players from last season. Anyway, I just, yeah, they did some, they really did some business this offseason. I think, I feel like Ottawa may have won the offseason, such as it is in the CanPL.
I can't believe
they got Amir Didich. I'm just very upset about that one. Pacific's going to ship so many goals. I'm so sad.
Much. I mean, it's kind of strange just seeing how many like interleague movement there was. I don't know. I kind of expected there to be, I mean, by the looks of it, there's a fair amount of, again, this is just me trivializing the names. It's like, I don't recognize anybody on this. I recognize, you know, only recognize, yeah, they may have been in the league for 2 years. It's not a team I follow. Don't know. Sorry. Yeah. But it's just so strange just to see like how many of them ended in Ottawa. And it's like, what? Is this the year everybody's just like, you know what? We're all sick of Hamilton too. Which one of you is going to get the best of all of our discards? And I wish you all the best, Ottawa. You're finishing second.
Well,
maybe third if Calgary still thinks.
Maybe, who knows? But like, Hamilton did the least amount of business in the offseason, right?
True, true. To be fair, though, it's there's still a goalkeeper move.
Well, that's an
interesting
situation. Yeah,
yeah, which is a kind of a uncomfortable.
Do you have any more inside baseball knowledge on that you're able to share?
I've only heard so like rumor. I went to the kit reveal thing, and
right,
the keepers that were dressed were not him. Neither of them. He could have just been absent in general, but I think everyone else was there, including the New Mexican loney we got. But it was just, yeah, there was some it was just some whispers like, oh, what's going on? And it, I have it on zero authority that it seems like just some shitty tactics. It's like, well, you're under contract, but you're not going to, you want your release, so we're just going to force you to sit out until somebody breaks.
Yeah.
And like I've heard he's got an offer somewhere in the States that was going to pay him significantly
money.
More in US funds. So, which is a fucking shame because he's good and doesn't deserve to be put into this kind of contractual hellscape. So it's other than that, like, yeah, Hamilton was fairly quiet. The ones that did leave were kind of like Mandrakar James. Okay, sure.
Yeah.
You know, he was good. He was good. He was a one howler moment guy, but he was otherwise, you know, set your watch to him. Wubens, we knew we weren't keeping him. That like no. Somebody was going to come in for him. Reza Rama just announced, like, it just seemed like came out of nowhere. It's like, I'm going to play in third division Albania or second division Albania. It's like, okay, he is Albanian. Like, his family is Albanian.
Yeah.
And as far as Sissoko, I think that one was kind of like surprising. I'm not sure exactly where he went, but the guys that they brought in, like, all right, like Cisse's back. Like, Cisse was super integral for the first two seasons. Like, we're the team is fine. And the other thing too, is there's depth. The things that bothered me is that Jordan Hamilton's name isn't on the players out list. And I don't understand why he's still there, but he also did score a bunch of goals, which blew my mind. Anyway, my point is that
Mark, his last name is Hamilton. He plays for Hamilton. Like, yeah, I don't know what else.
It's about the name on the back of the shirt, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's the only player in the league. He's got his name on it twice. Cause it does say on the tramp stamp Hamilton.
Exactly.
And trust me when I say this, that was the reason why I really liked him in Toronto until I realized he can't score. And then it's like, oh, and I'm sure he's like a monster in training. I'm sure he just scores Olympicos blindfolded. You know, he can just pop them all over the pitch in training. And then he gets on the field. It's like, you want me to run? Like, it's like, okay, fine. You're going to walk. But anyway, jokes aside. Yeah. I feel like Hamilton last year was also kind of in this boat where they had late signings and late departures for whatever reason. I don't know if the cycle of the contract. I don't know if there was some chicken being played as to, you're going to let me go. You're going to resign me. You're going to let me go. You're going to resign me. You're going to, you know, that kind of shit. I don't think Hamilton's done, but let's check this list in 3 weeks. Cause I bet there'll be five more players on either side to it.
Possibly. Another team actually that didn't do too much other than looks like really do some bolstering. Was Calgary, who, you know, didn't win the Shield, but won the,
what are the two? Why didn't they win?
I don't know. There was
players of the year and coach of the year. Surely they must.
Well, with that hair, come on. Good. But again, they didn't change much. They actually brought in a couple really strong players as well. In places that
they. Rucheski, wasn't he a Halifax bit of a stand-up?
Yeah, Malcolm Shaw as well. Lucas Diaz, though, from Sporting Lisbon, and Diego Gutierrez from Winnipeg. Good midfielder. He was a good midfielder last year.
Who am I thinking of? Anyway, sorry. Chesky's a wrong guy, whoever I thought it was, not him.
Okay. But they brought in some strong players to, you know, offset some of the players that they lost. So I don't think they're any worse, sort of maybe similar situation for Hamilton. Although again, Hamilton's big question mark is keeper, because the other two, Tristan Henry dilemma or whatever, notwithstanding, whatever, Tristan Henry's a pretty strong keeper, Campbell keeper, but you know, they didn't, other than that, they seem to have managed to do some like for like. And I think Calgary did the same, if not maybe a slight improvement. And since, as much as it pains me to say it, they've been two of the best teams in the league all since forever. I think Ottawa being the super team that it is, you know, who knows? The third team in the mix.
Man, my eyes just rolled so hard right there. Go on.
Right? Right? I know. I want to know. I want to watch. I cannot wait. Actually, when does Ottawa play this when their match is on? Is their match on Sunday or Saturday? Their match. Oh, theirs is the first. Oh no, I'm working this Saturday. No. I never work. I hardly ever work Saturdays. Damn it. I'm going to miss.
Typical.
I'm going to miss all of them. I'm going to miss every Campiel match this weekend. Damn it. Because I wanted to watch the Otletti match just to see how many times the commentators call them a super team. And then we could turn it into a drinking game.
True.
I think it would be a pretty straightforward one, except for, you know, like maybe alternate with water.
York wins 1-0. Sorry, are we doing predictions? Not yet.
Not yet. At the end, we will. Okay, all right. So with all of the for most teams, a fair amount of player movement, some of them okay, swapping out almost your entire team. Who do you feel has improved the most Do you have any and like any surprises in terms of either player movement? Again, mine was Ammer, Dedichen, Aparicio leaving Pacific and going to Ottawa. Like that did surprise me. And feels a little bit like they're leaving a sinking ship, which I have concerns about. So that's my surprise, and I'm gonna say yes, Ottawa has improved the most.
I think Vancouver. I wanted to call them the Space Penises, but I couldn't do it.
I can't do it anymore.
Yeah,
we have to find a different nickname for them. It was
fine year one. I'm okay. We did good work.
Like they're the Eagles, so can we I don't know, call them the Seagulls?
The Space Chickens. Whatever.
They can be the Seagulls because they're a coastal team.
Yeah, they're like, you know, I mean, there's the Eagles, then there's like the B team version of the Eagles, which would be the Beagles, and then there's the C team version of the Eagles, which would be the Seagulls.
Yay! So, yeah, workshopped in real time.
All right, I'm okay. After that, Duncan, I now support this. So
do you know that did not come to me just instantly? My cousin-in-law, there's various of quotation marks around that, is in an Eagles tribute band. And so at some point... Yes. They played Massey Hall last year.
Oh,
hey. Wow. Good for them.
Yeah. But we were kind of like just sitting around at some point, not the guy who was in the band, but like other people who were, well, I hope you're here, I guess, and just kind of brainstorming, would it be a good name for an Eagles cover band? And we came with like the Beagles, and then when she got to the Seagulls. But where the Seagulls came along is that Massey Hall concert. There was the Eagles tribute band and also a Pete Seeger tribute band. So it should be, the two of them together, it's like the Seagulls. But yeah, it's like, all right, the C team version of the Eagles. So yeah, Seagulls.
Fantastic.
That's funny.
Fantastic. So I'm going to go, I think the Seagulls have gently bolstered their impressively, like it's a natural kind of like uptick from where they were, rather than, hey, let's just get like fucking anybody with cachet and bring him to Ottawa. If you're going to kind of turn over, at least get a slight improvement on a position to position. And I mean, like, Verhoeven on loan, Nico Giatsopoulos with that creepy post at the Northern with Northern Guard supporters, whatever. The York United supporters.
I forgot that's where he landed. That's right. Oh, yeah, damn.
Like Paris G, he's serviceable. Ben Fisk is serviceable. Like they did okay. And the players that they kind of pushed on, like aside from Sean Hundle, who didn't quite light it up as much as I wanted him to.
That one still feels a little weird to me, but yeah, anyway, continue.
Not the most name worthy, not that Vancouver had a lot of name worthy players, but just like as far as as much of a veteran presence you can have in the KMPL, they definitely got some veterans out of this. So,
all right, Duncan, thoughts?
The obvious answer is Ottawa is like probably, stand out as, you got some like players in, and it's again what Mark was saying earlier. So it's like, I've heard of most of these, whereas the other ones, I don't pay enough attention, and it's very unfair to these players. But I probably heard of, one or two, whereas like Ottawa, I've heard of most. So, they're going to be an interesting team to watch. I hope they fail. That would entertain me. But they probably, as I say, have won the off season. As far as surprising moves, I mean, there isn't really anything that surprises me. I mean, it's a league that's at a certain level. If players get good, they're going to go somewhere else. And, I don't really think it's theoretically got a salary cap and everything. I think it kind of more surprises me that, there's certain players, it's like Kyle Beck or whatever, you just kind of like stayed with one team for this whole time. I feel like, it's I think that's at the sort of level, well, yeah, there's going to be a lot of movement and like people just like randomly showing up here and here. And, oh, okay. So yeah, there's nothing in particular that surprises me, but yeah, I'd say, I think, you know, I'm not going to try and think too hard about this. On paper, at least, Ottawa have improved themselves most.
So with all of that, then, of course, I must know. Well, I put winner and I put winners like S in brackets because do we want to? I think we should just predict who wins the league as opposed to who wins the trophy. Yes?
Sorry, you're saying who finishes first overall versus who wins the actual playoff thing?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, both of them get trophies, Kristen.
Yeah, I mean, they literally
Oh,
made one so that Calgary
I
could
thought
get
one
the
was, isn't
shield.
one still a shield and one's a trophy? I guess they're both technically
Oh,
trophies.
fuck
Okay.
off. I mean, I was just like, oh, no,
Yes.
this is actually a shield. It doesn't count as a trophy. Good Lord. It's maybe, I will give you the, it's
You're
not
so
a.
easy to irritate, Duncan.
I will agree that the shield is not a cup, but it's definitely a trophy.
All
Jesus.
right, all right. Settle. All right, so who comes first? I feel we should predict as opposed to who wins the playoff thingy. Agreed? Or do you want to
Sure.
predict both? Mark, you sound like you really want to predict both.
I mean, okay,
Both,
so
why
this,
not?
here's how
All
this
right,
goes.
both.
Winner, not Hamilton. The actual winner, Hamilton. Like this is how it goes. It's just like one of seven teams is gonna finish
Should we
first.
do coaches too?
The eighth, oh yeah, no, that's the Ottawa's coach has already been named coach of the year. They just haven't made the trophy yet. That's no, like that's not a prediction. That's a spoiler. Wrestling. Anyway,
Right, so pick a non-Hamilton team then to come first,
oh
please, and
man.
thank you.
I would really find it funny if Calgary finishes first again, not because they're going to lose to Hamilton again, but more because Ottawa just built this super team and everyone's looking at Hamilton, all their fucking trophies. And it's still Calgary. It's still like, no, fuck you. We're not done. And they finished first. Yeah, I could see that being the case. So I'll say Calgary for lols.
All right. And Hamilton for just tradition.
Yeah.
Wooden spoon. Do you want to give me your wooden spoon pick now or wait till we do our winners?
Wooden spoon, jeez. Oh man. I feel so bad for York United.
Yeah.
I feel so bad. Nobody told me that Osaze went to Seattle's B
Oh,
team.
you didn't
Like,
know.
no, I just found this out. I'm like, players out. I'm
Oh.
like, oh, Osaze, no. And just,
Oh yeah, they
I
lost a
didn't know.
lot.
I didn't know, guys. So
But they have
again,
Frank Sterling, which is bizarre to me, but
I
anyway, that's
fucking can't
just
even, but also he's probably gonna get paid in money. So
Yeah, he'll probably be the only one. I don't
yeah,
even understand. That one is just
like
weird.
you know, I like every player who plays in this league and moves on, I hope they do well. I hope they make bucks. I do fear for York United's chances, which sucks because I've got a mint away kit and they're gonna look terrible looking amazing. So yeah, I think they're the wooden spoon. I mean, Winnipeg, they're gonna do just fine competing for it too, by the looks of it. Getting rid of your entire team except for like three guys. That's a good look. So yeah, I think that's the battle, but you know what? Screw it. Valor gets the wooden spoon.
All right. Duncan, talk to me.
Yeah, agreed. Valor gets the wooden spoon. If they still exist as a club at the end of the season, that's a triumph. But yeah,
Oh.
I know that's very harsh. But
Oh.
you know, yeah, I think I who's going to like finish first? And it's, yeah, in Calgary again, that's not a bad shout at all. I'm going to go, so it's like Halifax is my sort of like kind of like surprise team is going to be improved and what have you. They might actually sort of challenge for that and they'll probably do better than they have sort of so far in their existence. But they're probably not at, ooh, sort of win the, like finish first in the entire season. Not quite at that level yet, I wouldn't say. So yeah, fuck it, I'll go with Calgary. Hamilton never really seemed to get it together to finish first for the season as a whole. And then yeah, you know, it's until anything else really happens, it's, you know, it's going to be Hamilton win the whole thing, really, him win the playoffs. So you know, debate amongst yourselves, which is most important, sort of Calgary fans. Are you sort of really happy? Yeah, we were winning the overall season. That proves something. Or do you just really, really want to, you know, win the playoffs or at least beat Hamilton in the playoffs once?
Just once, just once.
What do you really want to have with Calgary? You know, you tell yourself whichever it is keeps you up at night. But yeah, it's if. Yeah, I fully agree with Mark's assessment of how it's going to go with sort of Hamilton as my, not Hamilton, Halifax as my like, surprise. Oh, these guys are actually good this year, but you know, not really actually going to win anything today.
I am going to go with York with the YU guys as wooden spoon. And I was going to go with Winnipeg, but and this is probably a dumb reason for picking them to not get the wooden spoon. But they're out of their home stadium for a huge chunk to start the season while it undergoes renovations. And I think they're going to bond more strongly than other teams. And therefore, actually get results on the road because they don't have any other choice. I feel like this is going to happen. Plus, you know, they have stuff hanging over their head. Not that the YU guys don't, you know, they've got, but anyway, I know they've got new owners. And so they've got more cash reserves this year than Winnipeg. But yeah, I think it's going to go the other way. I think they're going to miss, you know, some of the scoring that they've had and that sort of thing. So I'm giving wooden spoon to the YU guys. But also Pacific is going to miss the playoffs for the first time in forever because I have concerns. But it's really hard to not go with the Calgary Hamilton 1-2 in the winner's circles. It's just, you know, it feels cozy and it's tradition and Ottawa super team notwithstanding, who I do think will fare well. I do. I they'll be, if they don't, a lot of fingers will get pointed at them for being like, I'm sorry, with all of this and with who backs you and where you get to like spend your off season and all of these things, and you couldn't produce something. So I figure they'll be probably right behind Calgary and then do something stupid in the playoffs. Yeah, I'm gonna go Calgary Hamilton 1-2, and I feel dirty saying it, but I can't. I don't. I need to see Ottawa play before I can give any credence to the super teamness of it all, right? So, yeah.
There.
Before we move on from CanPL, I do have other written here. Now, was there anything else burning question, commentary thing you wanted to discuss? Obviously, all of the kits have now been released, but that would add like another hour to this show, and we're not going to do that. But I am going
So
to
many sort of
say,
interesting kits just ruined by sponsors. Like
I
the more interesting a kit is, the worse. Just the, you know, you got just a basic plain shirt having a sponsor on there, whatever.
no
But it's
problem.
like, oh, you've gone with like this kind of
That Ott Letty
very
one with the
interesting.
Maple Lodge circle is so bad. Makes me angry. But I do want to shout out the Seagulls. Like, that's a 1-2 punch, man. And as much as I love Pacific's new Johnny Maynard kit, I might have to give it to the Seagulls this year. And that takes nothing away from Winnipeg's Indigenous kit either, which is fucking stunning.
But yeah, I will say that
Vancouver, man.
I will say that Winnipeg has got a great set of shirts.
Yep.
I do like the simplicity of their Winnipeg Fury kit. That was always going to speak to me, but I know I already mentioned it, but I do think the York away kit is absolute class.
Oh yeah. I was just going overall for two kits. To me, Vancouver takes it this year. And I didn't think I would say that, but that Eagle kit is stunning. And the Cherry Blossom kit, like, are you fucking kidding me? I don't know. I think they're great.
Fair. Fairsies.
And then this whole thing of, oh, who's got the best kits. I mean, you know, it's the whole thing. It's like, oh, it's, you know, Hamilton, they win all the time, blah, 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 blah. But Hamilton, just consistently the worst kits. There is not one good Hamilton jersey that's come out there. And maybe, I feel like they had to, did they have a sort of yellow and black one, like a third jersey or something? I guess the colours that they've been, like, that they saddled themselves with, I shouldn't say they've been saddled with. They chose these colours. They've never done anything interesting, Hamilton, with the kits. I mean, this is like 5 years now. This is nothing special. It's just like, oh, it's a really, like, yeah, it's orange. Look, really awkward orange color, and then the gray,
I've legit tried going to that kit launch party, and I tried to shoot my shot. I'm not gonna lie, I may or may not have had a PDF ready to go with or without descriptions and mock-ups of what I felt were some really nice shirts, and
Were your descriptions like the infographics that come out with all the shirts that are just completely preposterous? Did you have that level of like description? Did you have the infographic ready to go?
I think I had, I want to say, seven or eight. I had three home ideas and four away ideas. One of the home ideas had circles highlighting things pointing to something else. No spoilers. And some of the others had photos relating to a kit that previously was worn by a prior Hamilton soccer team. No, it could have been anyone. Could have been the Hamilton Thunder, honestly. Probably wasn't. It's probably the Steelers. But I just kind of went through, like, ideas that I had, but I by no means was like, this represents the Sixth community. No, fuck that shit. Nope, we're not doing that. I'm all for design for design's sake, nice for nice sake. I'm okay with it. I don't, you know, these lines in this box does not have to have a meaning. It can just look pretty sweet, and I'm very okay with that. But anyway, I tend to agree, though, overall that Hamilton's kits have been on average underwhelming, and maybe probably like year to year, the kind of the most, oh, like that first year was just like, wow, that's it. It's like, we're going to give you the shittiest shirts, but you guys are going to win this thing. Okay. Deal. Okay. Great. and I still maintain, though, we did have one nice shirt. Two years ago, the home shirt, where it had the maroon cuffs. I thought that was
actually awesome. I did kind of like that one too.
Otherwise, yeah, I wouldn't fight you too hard on that statement. Like, they're kind of like, they're okay, but that's okay. That's what we're doing. Fine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like every other team out there has, you know, had at least one sort of that year or just, oh, that's really fucking good. Whatever. And how old every, just never.
Every club's kind of had a banger. Like, for real, every club. I still maintain Valor finally got one, because I've been pretty underwhelmed. with a lot of their offerings, even when others were kind of gushing about it. But these are really, really, really nice. So like, yeah, everybody's had a fair kick at it. Even Calgary, even Edmonton arguably had it.
Yeah.
I
don't
think banger, but they had like good, they had a couple good ones.
Oh, that one throwback kit though. That was
the Drillers one, which they never, ever got back to me. I would have gone into debt buying their entire stock, honestly.
Oh God, that was fucking.
Cause they only had big sizes left, I think.
That was so nice.
Would still be alive. That team would still exist if only they got back to you.
Yeah. Mark bought the shirts, all the shirts, $5 a piece, and that floated them.
That was enough.
I was like, oh my God, you can make money off of just selling, liquidating jerseys and running a club off of that? Yeah. Yeah. That's the Mark Hinkley business plan, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. So yeah, so Campiel starts this weekend. We'll throw the games at you at the end of the show and give our predictions for that. But one more thing, actually, before we get into previewing 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 matches. Holy fuck. One quick thing to note about women's soccer in Canada. Speaking of professional leagues, Project 8, still unnamed league. I doubt we're calling it Project 8. That would be awkward.
We call it Project 6?
Yes. Perfect. Done. Good job, Duncan. They announced a few days ago that there are now 6 teams, 3 still to be named later, one of them presumably Halifax, based on what we discussed in a previous show.
Yeah, okay. After reading this, I'm like, did I have a fever dream?
No.
And because that name was atrocious, so I was kind of happy.
But now that 100%. You're confirming it,
I'm very disappointed.
I said presumably. Everyone seems to indicate that the Halifax team is just one of the other, the 3 to be named. But they have said that there are now 6 teams that have committed, business plan, investment, stadium, all that stuff for the launch next year and in the coming weeks. And they left it quite bland and vague like that. They will be revealed, as will the club brands and league, all of that stuff. And player signings and ticket pre-sales are expected to start this summer. So anyway, it is exciting, even if we don't know for certain what these other 3 cities are. But to have something we've all sort of been like quietly or not so quietly talking about in the background, kind of like, guys, 2025 is not that far off. A little help? Anything? So good news.
I feel like we did the same thing when Campiel was Campielling. Yeah. So
yeah, and guarantee people were doing the exact same thing about the PWHL, which had very little details or anything. It was like, oh, you're launching, and you seem very unprepared. But it seems like that's gone well their first year, from what I see. So
they were so unprepared they didn't have names.
Yeah.
They'll have names next year. I know they will have names next year.
Oh, 100% they will. And access to jerseys and probably better stadiums.
If you like, there are articles out there where somebody was going through name registrations, trademark. So like, get ready for your Ottawa alert.
Alert.
There was a women's team that was quite successful way back in the long, long ago called the Ottawa Alerts, plural. And this is going to be singular. I forget what the other ones are. Some of them are groanable, like, ugh, but whatever.
I remember seeing that there was the Toronto Torch or Torches.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And I don't like that idea just because getting to the bastard proofing side of it. Torch, it's just another name for a flashlight, which is just a step away from a fleshlight. And it's just like, that's just setting itself up for making it very easy for opposition sort of misogynists to make fun of you. And so,
All right, so here we go. All right, here we go. Toronto Torch is correct. Auto Alert is correct. The Montreal Echo.
Okay.
the Minnesota Superior.
Okay.
Because of the lake.
The lake, yes. Okay, yeah,
New York Sound.
Yep.
Sure.
Also the makes
Boston
sense.
Wicked.
Get out, seriously?
For reals. Boston
Is it really? Okay, that is that's wicked cool, yeah?
I guess so.
I actually love that. I love that. It's terrible, but I love it.
Everything but the torch you can't draw. Just want to throw that out there. With your crayons at home, please draw me an alert. Draw me a sound. Draw me a sound. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, sound is a body of water.
True, but if you drew it, Kristen, and you showed it to 10 people, how many of them, you know what that looks like, a sound? Fair. None of them.
Is New York on a sound? I've obviously heard of like Owen Sound, Seattle, there's a whatever sound there, I'm sure.
Isn't the body of water that runs through Connecticut and...
Yeah, it's like more New York, the state, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an AHL team called the Bridgeport Sound Tigers.
Ooh.
So I don't think a sound tiger is a thing. Like, it's not like if you go now National Geographic, look, the natural habitat of the sound tiger. No, they just regionalized it and then put a tiger on it.
Yeah, there's the Long Island Sound, which...
Thank you. That's the one I was trying to think of.
That's the one, yeah. And that's probably most likely to be the one, yeah.
All right. So geographically, there is sound echo alert. Okay.
Hey. Welcome to Hockey Talk. All right. Actually, this is more logo and name talk.
Which is totally our wheelhouse. Yeah.
I'm always here for that. Anyway. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, let's move on to what's coming up, because we got 6 matches to talk about. Jesus Christ. All right. Most of them are going to be fast because they just are. And the first one is tomorrow night, day after recording, possibly the day before you listen to this. It's Tuesday night at 7:00. So the XNT take on the Americans in the final of the She Believes Cup, a cup in which you have to play a match and then go to the final. Ooh. I'm not sorry that I keep bitching about this, because it used to be a proper tournament format where at least you had to play more than one match before the final. And this just continues to annoy me. In any day, anyone who appreciates the sport should be upset about the change in the format for this tournament. I don't even know why they call it a tournament.
Are you guys bored? There's literally only 4 games. It's not a tournament, guys. It's not a tournament. It's a get together. It's a sleepover.
Yeah, I was gonna say, hey, what are you guys doing this weekend? Like, you want to like come to town and we'll kick the ball around. You mean like a tournament, Kristen?
We're all going to go to the bar. We're having a tournament, guys.
Are we seriously suggesting that the She Believes Cup used to be a tournament with integrity? It's always just been a glorified few friendlies over a couple of weeks.
To get together
kind of thing.
Are
we seriously debating the integrity of the She Believes Cup?
I am debating the integrity of the format of the She Believes Cup, not the cup itself. Christ.
Fair.
Have you not listened to me bitch about this for the last month?
It's just been a bunch of fucking friendlies, and
but at least it's been more friendlies.
There's a trophy at the end of it.
Anyway,
I do like the idea of having a bunch of friendlies and then just arbitrarily awarding a trophy to someone. Ended in 3 draws like or something like that. Japan, congratulations. Here's a trophy. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, you get the congeniality award. Here you go. All right. So, as we mentioned earlier, this match presumably will not be played in a monsoon and under actual decent footballing conditions. Who you got? I'm not even going to attempt to preview the American side. We know how the Canadians are. They are missing a few players, but Janine Becky is back. I don't know if Desiree Scott will be back for this match or not. Probably not. I don't expect her to. Simi Awuzo had a good match on the weekend. Again, we mentioned Aladu. And what do you think?
That whole thing that you said about how, oh, it's not going to be in a monsoon, it's going to be an actual proper, conditions for a proper football game. Let's face it, that probably favors the Americans, really, doesn't it? Let's have some fucking real, like, outlandish fucking conditions as a to level the playing field. Without that, I would suggest the playing field is very much in the favor of the Americans, and they will win. Let's go with 2-0.
Okay. Marcus?
I'm going to say 2-0 to the hosts, reluctantly.
2-2 in regulation. The hosts win in added extra time.
Oh. Ooh,
for a second there. I thought you were giving us hope.
No. Not in this case. No. I think it'll be closer. The Canadians are going to want a little revenge after that Gold Cup final and how they failed to, not full final, semifinal, how they failed to adapt as quickly as the Americans did. I think there's a little, there's, and it wasn't too long ago either. So I think there's a little bit of a, at least we want to make it look good kind of situation. Do you know what I mean? So we'll see. All right. CanPL opening weekend. Woo-hoo!
Yeah.
Three matches on Saturday at 1, 4, and 7 Eastern time. And then one on Sunday at 7 Eastern time. So starting us off is the Atleti hosting the YU guys. We're just going to do score predictions all the way down and then quickly talk about TFC. And then, that'll be it.
Okay. 1-0 York, just because it's funny.
4-0 Ottawa. Oh, the hype is just
going to be so awesome. Hilarious.
Oh my god.
Hype train. Woo!
You know what, Duncan? I hope it's 4-0 Ottawa where they score all four goals before the 20th minute mark and then nothing fucking happens. We blew the wad. It's over. That's the entire season, guys.
I'm going 3-1 Ottawa. The why you guys score first because Ottawa is so like, haha, look at us, super team. And then they're like, oh, fuck, we should actually play. But they still win handily. The marquee match for the weekend.
Say that because it's me. It's Mark. I'm marquee. Hi.
Hey, yo.
Hamilton hosting their biggest rival, the Pony Boys.
I mean,
no,
okay,
seriously,
I
guess, it's Hamilton versus Calgary on Saturday afternoon. This actually is the big deal match, and I am sort of sad that I'm just sad I don't get to watch any of the opening weekend matches. But I expect you guys will have a good crowd. Looks like it's going to be decent weather. This is a big matchup. I'm assuming, Mark, that you're going to pick Hamilton to win.
Mostly because it's against my religion to pick Calgary ever. <Fair. laughs> I mean, I know I picked them to win the league, but again, for comedy's sake, seeing them not be the grand champions again is what I live for. And the tears of Calgary supporters are the most delicious. That being said, I'm going to go with 3-1. No Olympicos.
No Olympicos? What?
I know, right?
Why Olympico even watch?
FC. That's who we are now because we scored like two of them last year. It's like, oh,
exactly.
Yeah. Start a rumor just to get more casuals into the door. It's like, yeah, they score Olympicos every game, assholes.
Yeah, man.
Like, oh my God, they didn't score Olympico. Do I get a refund? Yeah, you do. No. 3-1. 3-1 Hamilton.
All right.
Okay. 2-1 Calgary, because this game doesn't really matter. So sure, Calgary might win that one.
Let me see here. 2-1 Hamilton. 2-1 Hamilton.
Yay.
I was tempted to do a draw, but no, I actually do think Hamilton will win this one. All right,
I'm going to take
Aquaman.
A quick break here, so come back to me last for the talking of Aquaman. I'm going to take a quick break. Come back to me last for this one.
The recently depleted Aquaman versus...
Speaking of depleted, Dunder will be right back.
Which is why I use that word.
Yes.
Hosting Halifax in one of the longest travel days in the sport.
At least they don't have to hold it.
But yeah, like Halifax to fucking Vancouver Island, man. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's mostly bladder. I'm going to keep doing this. Just, you set him up, I knock him down. Duncan will come back to hilarity when he listens back.
Well, you know, you have to hold the ball sometime. Are the shorts comfy on those new kits? They look comfy. That's important too. So I'm gonna go with I think that wait,
Kristen, am I a nation? Am I a nation? Yeah.
Yes.
No, you're a nation. Go on. Damn it, he's back for that one.
I'm sad that my brain
a new
did
low.
Not...
We just had pee jokes while you were gone.
Like the whole time.
Have we considered the Peagles as the name of the Vancouver team? Go on.
All right. Aquaman hosting Halifax. Oof. 1-1.
Yeah. Number one all round. 1-1.
Man, I wanna give it to Halifax. I'll say 2-1 at the death.
All right. And then capping the weekend off, the Seagulls hosting Winnipeg.
Yeah, the Seagulls win 1-0. Because Winnipeg are just Winnipeg, and yeah, they're shit. And you know, the Seagulls aren't gonna be that much better, but 1-0 better. So yeah. All right.
I'm you know what? I'm here for that. 1-0.
Yeah, I'll take a 1-0 on Vancouver, sure.
Awooga. Delightful.
Right. Is it going to be a PHWL team called the Klaxon? They got the sound and the echo of the alert called the Klaxon.
Right. Holy shit, I didn't even
trademark
put that together.
Trademark that.
The Seattle Klaxon.
The Seattle Klaxon, there you go.
To go along with the Kraken. Yeah, oh my God, seriously, trademark that.
They get
that.
A team, yeah.
We need to do that now. We think of the money. Think, yes. Anyone who's listening, be cool. Be cool.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it under your hats, guys.
Like, seriously. All right. Everyone cool? All right, good. Let's move on. And then, so excited for this. I doesn't know. TFC still on the road away to Charlotte. Who they already bested this season, 1-0. Very exciting. However, as we've recently discussed, Toronto on a bit of a losing streak. Not looking very likely to do much anywhere, considering their early successes on the road this season. But Charlotte still also pretty middling and still behind TFC in the standings. So that's nice. I looked at the roster list just, you know, since we do the player to watch thing, and I was trying to see, I was like, I don't remember most of those players from the last time we talked about this, and it wasn't that long ago. So I have concerns about my ability to remember players, or if I just don't care that much because it's Charlotte, which is probably the case here.
If this will help,
yes.
And you'll be shocked to know this. Scotty Arfield once played for Canada. Yeah, true story.
Pardon me.
Yeah, I know, right?
What?
Yeah.
Ska legend Scotty Arfield played for Canada.
Yeah, yeah. And
really?
We just played against Scotty Arfield. Played,
yeah,
we play against Charlotte again.
Yeah, yes. I know, right? I thought, like, didn't I saw that? Duncan, for real. I saw that we were playing Charlotte and go, fuck, I haven't sold my tickets because I can't go. Because they already played them and I remembered that night. Anyway. So, all right, I'm just going to take players to watch right now. I'm claiming Bear as I normally do when he shows up.
As you should, but as is only right. They continue to have, they don't have any outstanding, no one has become the scorer as of yet. So everybody that has scored a goal, everyone's got one. They've got six goal scorers so far. So congratulations for sharing the wealth, Charlotte. He's really played in six games, eh? Huh. Scotty Arfield. So weird.
Four substitutes, but yeah.
I know, but still. I didn't expect him to like feature remotely consistently, you know? Like good on him if he gets a final act to his career here. That's good. I got nothing against Scott Arfield. I liked him as a player. He and his brother had a decent band, you know, like these are all good things. It's just, yeah, unexpected. Who's this Lurie Tavares person? It's the first name, Lurie. Or is that an I?
That's an I.
Is it a Yuri?
I'm guessing it's a Yuri. Like
there's like no pronunciation guide. NLS.
Y-U-R-I,
Yuri Tavares. Yeah. Oh, it's Portuguese, so it'd be Tavares. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. Yeah. I'm going with this person. Because birthplace is unknown. It's just Portugal. He's from Portugal.
The whole country.
He's like the ultimate warrior.
Exactly.
That's unknown. I know that there's no one exciting on this team. Burn.
I know.
N. Burn. Who's this guy? Nathan Byrne from St. Albans in England. Delightful.
Okay, that's right. They've got this kid. I forgot who is also, I don't know, they're just protecting where people are from. So Neem Fasha, because apparently that's how you say his first name, Berchimas. 16 years old.
Woof.
From unknown USA. Unknown USA.
It's a database, guys. How lazy can you be?
Like, seriously, it's really not that hard. Three sub appearances, but still, I forgot that they had a literal child playing for them. So those are my two. Those are my two to watch.
Like for the love of God, just if you're gonna be this lazy, just go to Wikipedia for fuck's sakes. Like, how hard was this? It's from Burundi. There you go.
Hey.
Welcome, everyone.
Thank you.
Born in Burundi, settling in High Point, North Carolina. There you go. So,
oh, well, there you go. Like, look how helpful that was.
I mean, between Wikipedia and Reddit, we don't need you, MLS.com. Sorry, James. We don't need you.
It is. And we've said this. We do need James. But this website, which, as we've said many times over the years, is so terrible. I don't understand how, after this many years in existence, it remains this bad, this hard to search. Like, the search function is abysmal. Trying to get information on here, like, literally, you might as well, you know, like, cast a spell, yeah, you know, sacrifice a small animal, roll some dice, and
but Kristen, do they have any articles about Lionel Messi?
Who?
Lionel Messi.
Lionel Messi,
short guy.
Holy shit,
short guy.
Duncan, yeah. Just as you said it showed up right on the right hand side below the first images.
No, really?
Yeah, wow. He scored a goalzo. I don't know what that is. He scored a goalzo on Inter Miami.
On his return,
I'm going to fuck up the pronunciation of everything just to highlight how little I want to know about Lionel Messi. He felt comfortable. Well, that's nice. Good shoes, I guess.
That's so nice. It actually says that.
It fucking says felt comfortable.
That's so...
Lionel Messi got a great night's
sleep. Felt comfortable. Exactly. On his new Serta mattress.
This is bullshit, because I feel like Luis Suarez is fucking killing it for Miami.
He is killing it.
Ooh, it's, you know, there's various things popping up here. Messi returns, and Lionel Messi scores golazo, and Lionel Messi, how to watch. Lionel Messi returns. There's nothing on Suarez. I mean, come on, you got Luis fucking Suarez in the league. Give him some attention, people. Come on.
Just a little bit, exactly. I know, I know. But then my least favorite thing about the MLS website, other than the abysmal searchability and just horrible, all of that, is that there is literally, as we all know, a Lionel Messi section that you don't have to scroll very far to get to. It's just so dumb. And like after last season, sure, but like it's just ongoing. The Lionel Messi tracker, how to watch Inter Miami CF in 2024. Shut up, you fucks. Anyway, Charlotte, yeah, so just as really honestly just as middle of the road as Toronto, slightly better home record, but this is on paper, regardless of Toronto's injury woes and apparent confusion in their last match, if not a winnable match, then at least a match in which they can steal some points. You know, they could get a result from this. I actually am going to say that they do get a result. I'm going 1-1 on this for this match, because why not?
Because that suggests that somebody on this team is capable of scoring a goal.
Scoring a goal, I know.
I'll go 0-0. You know, let's see if we get a result, sure, but 0-0.
Clean sheet to cleanse the palate from the 4-0 drubbing. All right, that's nice.
Exactly.
I take that.
Yeah.
I appreciate the optimism.
I'm sensing a
share
butt.
It, Mark.
I'm actually going to go 2-0 for Charlotte.
Okay, I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not that optimistic. But that's. I feel like until whatever defensive hiccups continue to happen, which result directly in goals, not even indirectly, directly.
Yes.
I don't suspect that's going to change in a game. Maybe John Herdman got them to learn some hard lessons. I don't know. I tried to do his voice. I need to listen to more of it to really.
Yeah. You got the rasp right,
I think I also got the range. Anyway, work in progress. That being said,
you did not convince me that you were from the Newcastle area.
My Geordie's dog shit.
I was gonna say, so I feel like you just need to watch a season of Geordie Shore.
Maybe.
You'll be all right.
Maybe. All right. Anyway,
quickly. How do you say the word country?
Nope. Nope. Even from a distance, Duncan. I fear Kristen.
Wise, but also well spotted.
Yeah,
and nicely attempted, Duncan.
I know a fucking trap when it's being said. Duncan, am I
might as well.
No,
that
urination.
Might as well have been.
That's the
that
trap.
Might as well have been a Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner trap with a sign.
Oh yeah,
that
no,
said,
I saw. I saw you paint that tunnel all over that rock.
Absolutely, but,
you know. Not fucking happening.
That's the one thing that I'm really sad about like John Herdman leaving the national team thing to go to a club team. It just, you know, he gets to say the word country a lot less than he used to.
There. So until whatever shock PTSD therapy session he's going to do when reviewing last week's game tape, I doubt that's going to change. I just feel like Charlotte's going to take advantage less than Kansas City did. That's all. Yeah, that's I mean, I hope I'm wrong. Genuinely hope I'm wrong. I feel like offensively, Toronto has kind of figured out, except, you know, that last part. But the attack is robust. It's creative. Mostly when Bernardeschi hits the ball, he does that thing down the wing and then he cuts in. And it's like, yeah. I can see that. I can see that further away than you asking me to say a certain word with a Geordie accent. And it's like, if I can see that, they can see that too. So yeah, I feel like the ghoul thing should resolve itself eventually, but the defensive thing needs to resolve itself fucking quicker. So 2-0.
All right. Okay. Reasonable. Well, on that cheery note, that is our show for next week. Oh my God. That is our show for this week. It's not for next week. It's for this week. I swear. Please join us.
We can just take next week off. That's what you're saying. No. This works for next week. Perfect.
No. Please join us next week.
Well done, Mark. Well done.
And we look back at a hopeful win for the XNT, but we'll see. Hopefully an exciting opening weekend for the CanPL, and would love to get Toronto get a result on the road, but we will talk about all of that and more next week. I have been joined by these two fine gentlemen, as per usual, to be found out there on the Twitters at Duncan D. Fletcher, Mr. Duncan Fletcher.
Hello.
Out on the tweet machine at Kitnerd Mark with a K, not a Q, Mr. Mark Hinckley.
Thank you to everybody who continues to support our podcast via Patreon. We absolutely appreciate it. And go support your local CanPL team or your League One team. Just go and see some footy, guys. Just do it.
Fuck yeah. Do it.
Just do it. Just do it. This whole Victoria thing, Highlanders, is sad. I know they got another team, but yeah. Highlanders were there first. And
yeah,
go support your local. Just go find out. Some of those League One games are free to get in. Just go. Or pay the $5. Buy a t-shirt. Buy a Coke. Whatever. Just go.
What he said. As for me, you can find me on the internet. Yes, the entire internet at KZ Knowles. I have been your host, Kristen Knowles. And until next week, Canada, get used to it.